We're joined in the media center of our number one qualifier in Top Fuel, Leah Pritchett, 7.33 seconds at 326.24 miles an hour. Fourth of the season, fifth of his career. You set that in that last session. Were you guys swinging for the fence and just trying to see what numbers you could get to stick on the board?
I mean, we were definitely swinging for the fence. Were we swinging for it like a 73? No, we said, you know, low, but mid-70s is what we were going after. But there's a reason that, right, we have four qualifying attempts, and this has a lot to do with our Q2. So in Q2, we lifted the front tires up for a while, and it was going towards that center line, and I had to pedal it real quick. We ran that 80, and so on this particular one, we knew the track was tight, and HRA has done a phenomenal job on that prep. And from the get-go, I do the burnout. We do a longer burnout. We got new tires on it, and I go to stop, and, like, the car just, you know, I stay amount of brake pressure, car just stops, out floods fuel. We had 10 pounds extra fuel in the front because we knew we were going to have that problem of weight. So I back up, I get on the radio, and there's like a gallon of fuel in the middle of the racetrack as I'm backing up. There's NHRA guys there picking it up. I'm like, all right, so that extra weight isn't there anymore. And so we took off, and front wheels were up for a little bit and back down, and then like 3:30, they just came up. But the thing is that we were so centered and straight in our new front half of the car that DSR built last week, you know, keeps it aligned and everything perfect. And then it just started to shake and come in at one, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is killer. And my guys, they never really tell me what we run on the radio because it's so far away and sometimes I can't hear. Text got on, was like 73, and it surprised us, and we struggled in qualifying this whole entire event, so to speak. But once we got it right, so I feel good about tomorrow.
Will you let Gary know that you're the number one qualifier heading into tomorrow, tonight?
I let Gary know. He texted me. I got back to the pit, saw my phone, and he was really pumped and excited about it. And I know they ran at Torrance, ran a 77 after, and I was looking, watching watching Doug and Tony on the screen, because I'm like, if anything, they're getting after it. Seeing a 73 on the board, anybody would get after it. Obviously, like, I thought I had a little bit of a wheel stand. Seeing Tony's car get up there and carry it, and then it slapped down, and at that point, like, I knew for him, like, the Army team's in for some work tonight. But Gary, man, I really have no idea what's going on over there in the Capco pit, because we have so much going on in the Mopar Pennzoil pit this weekend.
You say front half of the car, was that something that was being planned a while in advance? Is that when was that originally planned to happen?
It was planned. So at the beginning of the year, we ran our ex-members, and then we changed front halves after some rule changes, trying to get ready and prepare for a hot season and hot tracks. Put some K-members in, and we just hadn't been able to do that well. So we reverted after Chicago for this, and we know what works. Let's try that. So now we have a race car that's more consistent to what we had at the beginning of the season. And that's when we were doing really well. So we have that. But what we've seen, you know, all day long here is a combination of great track, a lot of power, a lot of Hemi power, Mopar power. But the fact that the air literally is so thin, the molecules are so thin that the downforce isn't there. You're seeing it. Downforce isn't there to keep these cars down no matter what. And we're still trying to, you know, be light and still have weight in certain places. So I don't know, man. It feels really good. And it's a really good feeling into tomorrow.
So you think this is more similar to the car that you had, you know, back maybe in Phoenix, something like that, when you obviously were having a lot of success then?
I do. I feel like it. I feel like it inside the car, and now that's what it's reacting to. You know, we knew that our Q2 run, then we knew that our car was good. You know, I had to do what I had to do to get it back in. But, I mean, tomorrow, right, time will tell. Tomorrow will tell. And at the end of Sunday, we just hope that we can help Mopar blow out their candles on their 80th birthday. All right.
You are carrying the honors here for Mopar because the fastest of the funny cars is Caps, and he's back in fifth place. So.
Well, but I mean, I'm always honored to carry the flagship for Mopar, and last year was my first time with them officially and kicking that off back into Top Fuel. So everything has come full circle. We're co-pitting with Matt Hagan this weekend, and we got all the Mopar. You know, Matt Hagan and I, we did a match race today in the Demons, and the car that I was racing, which he raced yesterday, actually, he wanted to switch because he thought his was slower. so we switched cars, and I had got to the finish line first, but it was a lot of fun. And I know that they're kind of struggling over there this weekend. Yeah. And there's a lot going on, but Mopar, man, it is not all me. I happen to just do the most perfect job that I could. I mean, there's no more shallow stage than that was right there. It flickered probably 8 times. I was like, I'm not going to give it another bump. And kept it in the move, and I split the fuel that I had laid down on the track and went right over it. So we weren't going to spin. Like, it takes every amount, and I'm just like maybe 1%, and all those guys got it perfect on that one. And, man, if we could just get it perfect 4 times tomorrow.
Perfect.
All right.
Thank you much, Leah.
Thank you.